This week's Linux Daily is brought to you by the Golden Group and the event they produce, ISPCon. The event is being held April the 14th through 16th. Check it out at ispcon.com. Also, IDG World Events. And there are two events, the Linux World Conference and Expo and Macworld. Also, Linux Journal, linuxquestions.org, linuxtoday.com, and Fuse, F-Y-U-Z-E.com. But most of all, we'd like to thank you, the listeners, who throw a few dollars in our tip jar. It takes us a couple hours a day to produce this show. If you like what we do, think of it as a 25-cent per day investment. That works out to a mere $100 per year to subscribe for our show. So, is 25 cents a day too much to ask for a couple of hours of our time? And now, on with our show. Hello, I'm Jeff Gerhardt. It's Thursday, April the 8th, 2004, and this is the Linux Daily Show. We're continuing our ongoing series of shows today about peeling back the onion, the story of how Darryl McBride got so comfortable with the lie. Let's start by backing up to the middle of 2003, the time leading up to the first SCO forum. Previously, it had been called GeoForum, and now it was being called SCO forum. And this is the channel event held each year for the companies that are participating in the SCO sales channel, those people who are VARs and integrators out there who make use of SCO products to sell with server platforms. Prior to that, a number of people within the leadership of Linux had been talking about contacting Darryl, and we discussed that in yesterday's segment of the show. It was a very well-reasoned argument as to why to do this, and it was also a very well-reasoned argument presented to Darryl as to why people should sit down at the table and discuss this situation in a well-reasoned, rational manner. Because I was going to be attending SCO Forum, I was given the nod by Eric Raymond to actually deliver the message. What was amazing to me is how quickly the word leaked out about something was about to happen, because no sooner had I arrived in Las Vegas the night before, there was a little reception and cocktail party given, but that there were other reporters who were coming up to me and saying, "Hey, Jeff, I understand that you're going to be giving something to Darryl tomorrow." And they would ask me for details, and I didn't give them out at the time, but apparently the word had already leaked out that this document was going to be presented to Darryl at the press conference held the first day of the event. The start of SCO Forum 2003 was a little less joyous than the previous year, 2002. Crowd a little bit smaller, and the crowd was a little bit irritated, to say the least. Not all of the crowd. A lot of the diehard SCO people were really lined up tightly with SCO, but a number of the people who had been sort of straddling the fence between the Caldera era and the SCO era were terribly upset by the things that had transpired since the beginning of the case with IBM. So there were a number of questions being shouted out by the audience, asking for explanations about what was going on, and was SCO on the verge of collapse, and it was not a pleasant morning for Darryl McBride. In fact, that is the morning that was the first of the occasions where people from SCO were claiming that Darryl was getting threats. That is going to be a thread that I am going to call SCO Hysteria that we'll cover in a couple of weeks. But come midday was a press conference. As the people in the channel started heading out to their conference sessions, a press conference was held. Sure enough, during the press conference, I had a stack of papers that I passed out to the people in the press that were in attendance, and I handed copies to Darryl McBride and Chris Sontag and the other officers from SCO and explained to them that this was a challenge by the leadership of the Linux community to sit down and negotiate in good faith and to prove your case. Now, initially, I think this caught the people from SCO terribly off guard. I think what they were anticipating, because of the rumors of some kind of action was going to take place, that they were probably anticipating a protest march, a Linux user group members storming the MGM Grand and carrying protest signs, something along the lines of that kind of an action. I don't think that they were expecting to become challenged before the press, especially when that message was being delivered by somebody in the media as an intermediary. So the surprising thing is during that initial press conference, they were forced into a position of having to receive this as a positive sign. And indeed, during the entire first day, people from SCO kept on coming up to me and asking me for more details about the proposal. There had been, of course, as you know from the Stephen Vaughn Nichols article, there had been contacts behind the scenes with Linus, with Eric Raymond, but nothing so public. And this was done purposefully. This was done to put the heat to SCO to actually take a proactive step into resolving the IP issue. As I said on yesterday's show, this really did put SCO into an uncomfortable situation. If indeed they believed in their argument about the intellectual property, this was about the biggest gift horse they could have been offered. If, indeed, the Linux community would come forward and step on board and support SCO in their argument against IBM, it would be a relative slam dunk for them to win their court case against IBM. If, on the other hand, they didn't have quite so much faith, they might respond differently. And that's really the core of today's message, is why did they turn this offer from Eric down? We're going to take a very short break now and talk about one of our sponsors, Digium. Their website is digium.com. That's digium.com. And a happy birthday to Mark Spencer, CEO of Digium Corporation. Digium makes a product called the Asterisk PBX, along with a number of interface cards that support the Asterisk PBX. You can find information on the Asterisk PBX at asterisk.org. That's asterisk.org. The Asterisk PBX is a complete business PBX solution. It includes not only your typical private switched system to take business telephone calls, but it is also a VoIP gateway. As a matter of fact, we're so intrigued with the Digium PBX here that we're in the process of installing one for use on an upcoming show where we're going to take questions and hopefully give answers over the internet live. So if you're looking for a PBX solution for your business, check out digium.com. So welcome back. It's really not hard to figure out how SCO or how Darryl McBride came to the decision they did about turning down Eric's offer. Gift horse or not, there were reasons for turning down that offer. It was a great offer. It made a lot of sense. So when you look at it, fundamentally there was one thing that was going on with SCO at the time. There was a benefit coming to the company with this case going on. They had failed as a management team. They had not turned the company around. Those steps that they had taken to improve the business, to improve new product development, to improve the Unix product itself, had failed. They had not come out with a new, robust version of Unix to wave a flag over. So they had pretty much failed from the standpoint of creating a dynamic company that people would be really interested in buying their products. No one was going out of their way to buy SCO Unix. Everybody in the world was going out of their way to buy a copy of Red Hat. Red Hat was still winning. So, bottom line, they just failed. The business plan didn't work. But the one thing that did work was this IBM lawsuit. The IBM lawsuit accomplished two things. First of all, it allowed SCO to get into the press constantly, perpetually. They were in the press all the time. There were even a couple of pundits, shall we call them clueless pundits, that were talking about that SCO had a really good chance of winning this case, even though I've seen the evidence. I know there is no SCO code in the Linux kernel. So I know they can't win. I know that. But if somebody else in the media says it enough times, enough people will believe it that a certain phenomenon will happen. And that phenomenon is people will start to speculate on the stock just in case that SCO actually pulls it off. And so all of a sudden, SCO started to realize their stock price was climbing. Their stock price was climbing, and yet their sales weren't up. There was absolutely nothing that they could claim in terms of a sales increase in their core products in the Unix SCO channel, nor in the SCO Biz product line that they had developed a year before. That is, other than a couple of very questionable sales to a few companies like Microsoft. So even with sales down, the company losing money, the stock was going up. This excited the management team. They had it. They had a new business plan, a new business formula, and it was working. And so when confronted with this document by Eric Raymond, Darrell was confronted with a decision that he had to make. He could either open the door and participate in this exercise that would disprove their case, more than likely, and it would probably mean the end of SCO as a company, or they could stick to their guns. So it's at that time, in August, September of 2003, that Darrell McBride became the chief litigation officer of the SCO Group. SCO continued to make nice for the remainder of the SCO Forum, at least until the media all left, but wasted no time after the fact. Not only did they turn down the invitation resoundly, but they did so with two barrels of a shotgun. First, Darrell accused Eric Raymond of being an employee of IBM. I think the term was lackey. And that he couldn't possibly meet with Eric Raymond because it would be like handing the IBM legal team information for the defense of their case. Plus, they invented a new form of logic that day. The logic was what they call the barn door logic. They claimed that the damage to SCO could not be repaired by simply removing the code from the existing Linux kernel, that the Unix kernel had been now tainted by being touched inappropriately by the Linux kernel. And so it was too late to go back. It couldn't be fixed. That there was only one solution, and that was that Linux users need to admit their mistake and pay a royalty fee to Unix. Again, they were still making this claim with utterly no evidence laid on the table. And so they basically chose to spit in the eye of the Linux leadership. Simply put, it was during that week and the succeeding weeks of September and October of 2003, the SCO began the process of escalating the lawsuits, threatening to sue one company after another, actually suing a few. So why did they do this? Why spit in the eye of Eric Raymond? Well, it goes back to that stock price again. The stockholders loved them for it. The stock skyrocketed to over $20 a share during this time frame. Fell soon afterwards, but the stock was very high. So, in September and October of 2003, the present shareholders started the process of dumping stock. If people in the stock market were buying into the process, why not? This was a golden opportunity for Darrell McBride to reward the loyalty of the existing stockholders by pumping up the stock price. Shamefully, they even used a roadshow to promote the fact that they were going to continue and follow through on the lawsuit and focus their business plan on battling IP claims like the one against IBM. So during this time frame, SCO ceased to exist as a real IT company. Yeah, they're still out there. They're playing at being an IT company right now, but they're just playing at it. They're not really an IT company. They're not developing anything. What they are is a litigation company from that time frame forward. Join us tomorrow for the final segment on this history of why Darrell got comfortable lying, when we'll talk about the results of spitting in the eye of Linux leadership. Catch you tomorrow. Thanks for joining us today. This has been the Linux Daily. If you enjoy what we do here, throw a few dollars in the tip jar.